Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 9, Text 26. Maitreya Ubacha,
Maitreya Ubacha,
Swa,
Swa,
Sambhavam,
Sambhavam,
Nishamayvam,
Nishamayvam,
Tapo,
Tapo,
Vidya,
Vidya,
Samadhibhi,
Samadhibhi,
Javan,
Javan,
Mano,
Mano,
Vachaha,
Vachaha,
Stutva,
Stutva,
Vira Rama,
Vira Rama,
Sa,
Sa,
Khinnavat,
Khinnavat,
Maitreya Ubacha,
Maitreya Ubacha,
Swa Sambhavam Nishamayvam,
Swa Sambhavam Nishamayvam,
Swa Sambhavam Nishamayvam,
Swa Sambhavam Nishamayvam,
Tapo Vidya Samadhibhi,
Tapo Vidya Samadhibhi,
Tapo Vidya Samadhibhi,
Tapo Vidya Samadhibhi,
Javan Mano Vachah Stutva,
Javan Mano Vachah Stutva,
Javan Mano Vachah Stutva,
Javan Mano Vachah Stutva,
Vira Rama Sakhinnavat,
Vira Rama Sakhinnavat,
Vira Rama Sakhinnavat,
Vira Rama Sakhinnavat,
Swa Sambhavam Nishamayvam,
Swa Sambhavam Nishamayvam,
Tapo Vidya Samadhibhi,
Tapo Vidya Samadhibhi,
Javan Mano Vachah Stutva,
Javan Mano Vachah Stutva,
Vira Rama Sakhinnavat,
Vira Rama Sakhinnavat.
Maitreya Ubacha, the great sage Maitreya said, Swa Sambhavam, the source of his appearance, Nishamma, by seeing, Evam, thus, Tapaha, penance, Vidya, knowledge, Samadhibhi, as also by concentration of the mind, Javat, as far as possible, Manaha, mind, Vachaha, words, Stutva, having prayed, Virarama, became silent, Sa, he, Brahma, Khinnavat, as if tired. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The great sage Maitreya said, O Vidura, after observing the source of His appearance, namely the personality of Godhead Brahma, prayed for His mercy as far as the mind and words would permit Him. Thus, having prayed, He became silent, as if tired from His activities of penance, knowledge, and mental concentration. Please repeat after me. The sage Maitreya said, O Vidura, after observing the source of His appearance, namely the personality of Godhead, Brahma prayed for His mercy, as far as His mind
and words
would permit Him.
Thus,
having prayed, He became silent,
as if tired
from His activities
of penance,
knowledge, and mental concentration. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Brahma's enlightenment in knowledge was due to the Lord sitting within His heart. After being created, Brahma could not ascertain the source of His appearance. But after penance and mental concentration, He could see the source of His birth, and thus He became enlightened through His heart. The spiritual master outside and the spiritual master within are both representations of the Lord. Unless one has contact with such bona fide representatives, one cannot claim to be a spiritual master. Lord Brahma had no opportunity to take the help of a spiritual master from outside, because at that time Brahma himself was the only creature in the universe. Therefore, on becoming situated by the prayers of becoming satisfied by the prayers of Lord Brahma, the Lord enlightened him about everything from within. Maitreya Uvacha, sa sambhavam nishammaiva tapo vidya samadhi bhi javan mano vachas tutva birarama sakhinnavat. The sage Maitreya said, O Vidura, after observing the source of his appearance, namely the personality of Godhead, Brahma prayed for his mercy as far as his mind and words would permit him. Thus, having prayed, he became silent, as if tired from his activities of penance, knowledge and mental concentration. So, Vidura met Maitreya Rishi, and Maitreya Rishi started to instruct him on the transcendental knowledge, the highest form of transcendental knowledge. The highest form of transcendental knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, Krishna told Maitreya to instruct Vidura, because Vidura was very dear to Krishna. Before departing from this planet, Krishna met two personalities. He met Uddhava and he met Maitreya Rishi. And he told Uddhava to go to... Uddhava was very dear to Krishna. Uddhava was very close to Krishna. Uddhava is an ideal devotee of Krishna. In Dwarka, Krishna had many associates, the Jadus. And among the Jadus, the position of Uddhava was the highest. When Narad Muni went in search of the best devotee, and he was told that the residents of Dwarka are the most exalted devotees, so Narad Muni went to Dwarka and he started to praise the residents of Dwarka as the most exalted devotees. But then the residents of Dwarka actually told him that Uddhava was the greatest devotee of Krishna, because he is not only Krishna's relative, but he was Krishna's friend, he was Krishna's minister. Uddhava was very, very wise. Krishna would ask Uddhava for consultation. He would ask Uddhava's advice. So Uddhava, just like a minister advises a king, Uddhava used to advise Krishna. That Krishna would ask Uddhava, what do you think I should do in a situation like this? And Uddhava would say, do this. And not only that, Uddhava's appearance was just like Krishna's. He looked exactly like Krishna. And Uddhava used to take Krishna's remnants only. He would not take anything else but Krishna's remnants. Not only Krishna's prasad he would take, he would even wear the dresses that Krishna has discarded. Krishna's prasad, even his dress, he used to wear the clothes that are worn by Krishna. Therefore, Uddhava used to wear the same clothes as Krishna used to wear. Now, he looked like Krishna, he dressed like Krishna. Only thing that he didn't have is the peacock feather on his hat, on his head. But otherwise, Uddhava looked exactly like Krishna, by his appearance, by his dress. Therefore, when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, and seeing him from a distance, everybody thought that Krishna has returned.
Krishna Uddhava actually went back to Vrindavan in the same chariot that Akrura drove to bring Krishna. And in the same chariot Uddhava also went to Vrindavan. So he looked like Krishna came in the same chariot. They thought that Krishna came. And therefore they became very excited. Oh, Krishna came back. But then, when they noticed that it was not Krishna, it was somebody else. Their condition was like somebody acquired a great wealth. And then all of a sudden he lost it. A poor man got a great wealth. Something like, you got a message that you won the lottery. You got 5 crore rupees. The news came. How do you feel? You'll feel, although you're a devotee, although you want to use the money for Krishna's service, but you'll feel very excited. But then if you get the message, oh, actually it was a mistake, how do you feel? So, the gopis' condition was like that. They thought Krishna came back, they became so happy, they were dancing in ecstasy. But then they got the news that Krishna, it was not Krishna, it was Uddhava. So their hearts were completely shattered. Already it was shattered. And now it became even worse. So that is how Uddhava actually, that is how dear Krishna was. Uddhava was to Krishna, because he was constantly, he was all the time absorbed in Krishna consciousness. He didn't think of anything else but Krishna. Like Uddhava would come to Krishna's room before Krishna woke up. And he left Krishna's room after Krishna went to sleep. So, throughout the day he was with Krishna in Dwarka. So that is how absorbed Uddhava was in thoughts of Krishna. That's how deep was Uddhava's love for Krishna. And therefore, naturally, Uddhava was also very dear to Krishna. And Krishna knew his condition, how he would feel after he left the planet. Krishna already sent all the other Jadus back to Dwarka. He made them fight among themselves and made them wind up their business in the material nature and send them back to the spiritual sky before he was about to wind his pastimes. And Uddhava was left. Uddhava was not involved in that fight. So Krishna knew how difficult it will be for Uddhava after he left. So Krishna advised Uddhava, Uddhava, you go to Badarikashram. And there you stay in the association of Naranarayan. Because Naranarayan is also an incarnation of Krishna, so Uddhava would get their association. So that is what he advised Uddhava, and he told Maitreya Rishi, who came also to see him at that time, he told Maitreya that Vidura will be coming, so you instruct him on the transcendental knowledge. Because at the time of great pain, one needs this transcendental knowledge to survive. Without the transcendental knowledge, we cannot really survive. Or when we have the transcendental knowledge, it becomes easier for us to deal with the difficult situation. Say, for example, the example that I was giving, you got 5 crore rupees in a lottery. The people actually came, you got the check and everything. So how you'll feel? You'll feel that, oh, now I'm so happy. I have 5 crore rupees and now I can fulfill all my desires. But then comes a phone call. Sorry, sir, we delivered. We actually delivered a wrong message. You didn't win the lottery, somebody else won the lottery. Many people will have a heart attack. But a devotee, how will a devotee deal with this situation? Devotee will think that even if I got the money, I would have used it in Krishna's service. So if I didn't get it, so what? Krishna didn't want me to. I would have used it in Krishna's service, now Krishna doesn't want me to have this money. So it's all Krishna's desire, Krishna's plan. And what to speak of 5 crores? Krishna can give me 500,000 crores to me if Krishna wants, isn't it? If Krishna wants, Krishna can give us anything. What is 5 crores to a rich man in this world? And what is 5 crores to a demigod? What is 5 crores to Lord Brahma? Now Krishna can say, Krishna Dasanu Das, you become Indra now. Krishna can say that. Krishna can give us the position of Indra. Krishna can give us the position of any demigod. Krishna can give us the position of even Lord Brahma. So Krishna can give us any position. Therefore a devotee is not attached to position, devotee is not attached to wealth, devotee is not attached to anything, because he knows that the personality he is serving, he owns everything. Therefore he is not attached to anything, because he knows that his master owns everything and his master can give him anything according to his plan, according to his desire. That's why we see the devotees can deal with any situation so bravely, so wisely, and so peacefully. Sometimes I think of one incident that I had in the early part of my devotional service. I was in Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada at that time, and one little girl, she took an she just swallowed a few tablets of chloroquine, the medicine for malaria. The devotees used to come from the west and carry chloroquine because malaria was quite prevalent in India, so as a prevention for malaria, or if they got malaria, they. But this chloroquine, bottle of chloroquine tablets were there, and this little girl swallowed a few pills of chloroquine and she died. And it was so painful to see such a sweet looking little girl to leave her body like that all of a sudden. Even I was feeling, because this girl used to come to me and she was very fond of me, and I was completely devastated when she died. But I saw her mother, she was not at all affected by that. And that's the time I realized that what Krishna consciousness does. Krishna consciousness makes us so detached with proper understanding, proper knowledge. That even a mother, when her only child, maybe she was 4 years old at that time, just died like that. All of a sudden. Generally the mothers would be completely devastated. But she was, because she knew that she was not her daughter. She was actually a spirit soul who is Krishna's property. She came to her for the time being and she left. And Prabhupada said, she had some business to finish. She came and she finished her business and she went back to Godhead. So when the mother understood that, of course Prabhupada said that afterwards, but even before that she was so composed. But now we can see, like when the mother sees, oh, my daughter went back to Godhead. So why should I cry? Maybe I also have a chance now that she went back to Godhead. She will tell Radharani, please bring my mother also back to your lotus feet. So that is how Krishna consciousness gives us another dimension altogether to look at things. And that is the meaning of transcending Maya. Maya ties us down to this material nature. Maya's business is to tie us down with love and affection. We become attached with our love for friends, relatives, and other acquaintances. But when you become situated in Krishna consciousness, we transcend that platform and come to another reality. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and we are His eternal servants. And our situation in this material nature is like a dream. The real reality is actually death. And all that is happening in this material nature is like a dream. That is how we have to look at life. Death is the reality. And whatever is happening is like a dream. It's happening. Only thing is, the difference between a dream and this reality is, the dream is individual and this reality is collective. Dream is when we dream in our sleep, only I can experience it individually. We can experience them individually. But this dream, what's the difference? This is a collective dream. Whoever is here at this time and space will go through the same dream. Isn't it? Though what is the only reality? The only reality is Krishna consciousness. The only reality is Krishna. What is that verse from Chatushloki? Rite artham jat pratiyeta na pratiyeta cha. Tad viddad atmano maya yathato. So what is that meaning? Rite artham. If it is without. Rite means without. Jat pratiyeta appears to be existing, appears to be real, but is not connected to Krishna. Tad viddad atmano maya. That is maya. What is maya? It appears to be real, but is not connected to Krishna. Now you reverse the situation. Something that is connected to Krishna, then what it is? That is the reality. Reality is, whatever is connected to Krishna is reality. Even though it appears to be non-existent, if we reverse it, what appears to be existing but not connected to Krishna is Maya. So, reverse the situation. If something is connected to Krishna but it appears that it's non-existent, that is the reality. So that is the knowledge, that's the transcendental reality, the knowledge or understanding of the transcendental reality. So that is how we have to deal with this nature. That is how we have to utilize our existence. Just become connected to Krishna and connect everything to Krishna. Then what will happen? Connect everything to Krishna. Then that will become real. Connect everything that is there to Krishna. So that is the understanding that is received. That's the knowledge, that's the information that we can receive from Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we know Srimad Bhagavatam, then everything will become easy. Krishna knew for Vidura it would be very difficult when he got to know that Krishna left the planet. Therefore Krishna arranged that Maitreya Rishi, when Vidura would receive the knowledge that Krishna left the planet, soon after that Maitreya Rishi would instruct him on the transcendental knowledge, and that will make Vidura pacified. That will pacify Vidura. Now, why this is Srimad Bhagavatam, what Maitreya told? We can understand that this is Srimad Bhagavatam from the symptom of Srimad Bhagavatam. What are the symptoms of Mahapuran? What is the symptom of Srimad Bhagavatam? Why Bhagavatam is a Mahapuran, or why Bhagavatam is Bhagavatam? There are how many symptoms?
Ten.
Beginning from Sarga. So Sarga means creation, then secondary creation. Atra Sarga, Visargascha, then Jnana, Poshanam, Utayo, Manantara, Ishanukatha, Nirodha, Muktir, Ashraya. So these are the ten symptoms of a Mahapura. Or these are the ten symptoms of Bhagavata. Because that is the Mahapura. And we see Maitreya's instruction is actually covering all that. Therefore, this is Bhagavatam. Brahma received Bhagavatam from Krishna through Chatushloki. And then it expanded in the heart of Brahma. Brahma gave that knowledge. But here also it is being represented through Maitreya Rishi. And time again we will see that Bhagavatam is dealing with these few aspects. So, creation has been described, and Visarga, secondary creation, is about to be described. The universes have been created, but they are empty. So, what was the secondary aspect of creation? Brahma's appearance, and Brahma started the creation. So, here Brahma appeared. Brahma's appearance has been described. But what was Brahma's situation? He started to wonder, oh my God, where am I? And Brahma started to scratch his head, where did I come from? Can't remember anything. What actually, where he came from? This, his mind was completely blank. There was no memory from the past. It happens sometimes. What's it called medically, Ganganaran? When one loses one's memory completely?
Coma.
The coma is unconscious. Alzheimer's. But Alzheimer's. Is it Alzheimer's? Like no memory of the past. You're fine. You can see where you are, what is everything you remember now that is happening, you can understand, you can deal with it. But no memory of the past. What's your name, sir? I don't know. Whose son are you? Where did you come from? So Brahma's situation was like that. And at least with us, somebody can ask us, somebody can tell us, but Brahma didn't have anybody. He was the only person sitting there. That also on the lotus. Brahma couldn't figure out what was happening. But then Brahma meditated upon the Supreme Personality. Meditated. He didn't know the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was instructed, tapaha, tapaha. Brahma, now you perform austerity. Austerity means project your senses internally. That is the meaning of austerity. Don't allow your senses to go out. Project your senses internally. And Brahma did that. He projected his senses internally. Dhyana. And as a result of that, Brahma saw. So Brahma first heard the sound, Om. And that Om expanded into Bhur, Bhuvaha, Swaha. Brahma heard that. From the sound, which sounded like the sound of a flute, but carried certain meaning, certain specific words. And Brahma started to meditate on those words. Tat Savitur Varanyam Bhargadevasya Dhimahi
Dhiyo yona prachodayat. Brahma meditated upon that. And as a result of that, the spiritual sky became revealed in Brahma's heart. Tene brahmarida adikavaye muihanti jatsuraya. Tene brahmarida. In the heart of Brahma, the transcendental nature became manifest. And Brahma saw. What did Brahma see? Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa vriksha venum kanantam aravinda dalayataksha. So this is what Brahma is saying. Ramadi murtishu kala niyamena tishtam. Ram, people may question that how did Brahma get to know about Ramchandra? When Brahma received the transcendental knowledge, then everything became manifest in his heart. It was Brahma's perception of the spiritual reality was not like just we coming into a room and seeing something. We are not seeing the room. Brahma was not seeing the spiritual sky. He was seeing everything. Everything became manifest, just like a flash. Everything was there in his memory. Now in a flash they came back. From previous kalpas, from previous bodies, from previous existence. So this is how the spiritual reality became manifest in Brahma's heart. And then finally Brahma is describing Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpataruva. Description of Vrindavan and Krishna there with the gopis. Shriya. Who are these Shriyas? Who are these gopis? They're the goddesses of fortune. They're not just ordinary cowherd girls. The goddesses of fortunes have been elevated in this position of the gopis. So this is how the spiritual reality became manifest in the heart of Brahma. Tene brahmarida adikavaye muhyanti jatsumaya. Brahmarida, in the heart of Brahma. Adikavi. Adikavi is Brahma. And Brahmarida, this transcendental knowledge, we can manifest in the heart of Brahma. Dibbogyan, Ride Prakashita. The transcendental knowledge in this way becomes revealed in the heart. And so here Prabhupada is pointing out that why we need both external and internal guidance for this understanding. We can't get this knowledge otherwise. Brahma was fortunate, he could receive the mantra Gayatri from Krishna directly. Brahma did not have any guru as such. There are three types of gurus. There is Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru and Chaitya Guru. So generally Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Gurus are manifest externally. But Brahma did not have that good fortune because he was the only personality. Therefore, who became that external guru for Brahma? Krishna became the external guru, although Brahma didn't see him. So here we can see the importance of having a living guru, a guru that we can deal with. Sometimes there is some consideration that we don't need a guru, we don't need Diksha Guru, we don't need... No, we need. Prabhupada is pointing out. Through this incident, it is becoming clear. Just the guru in the heart is not enough. They are saying Prabhupada is the guru, but the thing is, can they deal with Srila Prabhupada directly? Will Prabhupada play the flute? Of course, for some, Prabhupada is playing the tape recorder and giving the mantra. That's okay, you can get the mantra from the tape recorder, Gayatri mantra, from Prabhupada. Yes, one can say that. I got the mantra from Prabhupada. But there is another aspect of the guru. Another aspect of the necessity of diksha. That is, the guru
that to the Guru one can surrender. We have to surrender. And to surrender, I need a living person. And that personality must be in contact with. We should be in contact with that personality. Like yesterday I was giving an example to Radha Vallabh. I was telling him that you can surrender to me, but I am not, most of the time I am not here. Therefore, Ganganayan is here as the temple president. Now, when you say that you are surrendered to me, you have to surrender to Ganganayan. You say that, well, I accept you, but I don't accept Ganganayan, then that will not be proper surrender. So similarly in our spiritual life also, just surrendering to Krishna will not be proper surrender. We have to be surrendered to Krishna's representative. Who is in front of us? Who is dealing with us? Of course, I gave the example of Ganganayan. That doesn't mean the Ganganayan is the only representative I have. It was just an example. The point is that we have to deal with, we have to surrender to our authority. Whoever is there, that structure is there, that authority structure. Similarly, say, for example, Arunakshay is the head pujari. So he is the head of the pujari department. Now, those who are in the pujari department, they have to be surrendered to him. We can't say that I will work in the pujari department, but I will not accept Arunakshay's authority. That means we are not actually surrendering to the line of authority structure. So that is the need for having a guru. Meaning a person to whom I can surrender. I can't surrender myself to a non-existent person who is not present here with us, in front of us. Why? Because if I do something wrong, then who is going to correct me? He is not there. Like if I can say that, well, or somebody who hasn't been initiated by Srila Prabhupada can say, well, I will take initiation from Srila Prabhupada and no one else. Then the question will come that who will correct you when you go wrong? Is there any need for correction? And if you feel that there is a need for correction and if you are accepting somebody to correct you, then that person is your guru. Especially we need to make an official arrangement like that, and that's why Diksha is so important. And that is the point, that is the consideration that we have about the Ritviks. Why the Ritvik theory doesn't work? Because of this. And so the point here actually is that Brahma's situation was very unusual because he was the only person. But others, from Brahma downwards, there's always somebody and somebody is surrendering to. Like for example, Narad Muni surrendered to Brahma. Therefore, Brahma is Narad Muni's guru, and Narad is his disciple. Narad Muni instructed to Vasudev. Vasudev could have said, "Why should I accept you, Narad Muni? I accept Brahma." But he didn't do that. Narad Muni came to him, had a direct exchange, and as a result of that exchange, that guru-disciple relationship was established. And here is important consideration also, is that Narad Muni did not light a fire and gave initiation in that way to Vasudev. Narad Muni did not perform a fire sacrifice and change Vasudev's name. From now your name will be you are no more Vasudev. From now on, you are Krishna Das. No. There was no formality of initiation as such. But in the heart, that initiation took place. Surrender was there. Vasudev recognized, "Oh, I'm sorry. I realize that I made a mistake. Thank you so much, Narad Muni, for instructing me. So this is how the transcendental knowledge flows. Everybody needs a guru. And there are external guru who comes, someone will give diksha, and many others will give shiksha. They are the gurus also, those who are giving the shiksha. And shiksha is actually more important than diksha. What if there is diksha, the formality of diksha, but no shiksha? Will that initiation have any effect? No. Like, one may not see the guru afterwards, after diksha. Say for example, Mrigari met Narad Muni just once. And Narad Muni instructed him, and he took his instruction as his life and soul. His whole life was transformed. His whole life changed. Just because of that. Narad Muni didn't have to sit with him and start giving instruction. It's a matter of taking the instruction in the heart. That is what is required from the disciple. The spiritual master may give just one instruction and the disciple will be spiritually enlightened. So that is how the spiritual process works. And then there is the Chaitya Guru, the Lord in the heart. The super soul is actually the Chaitya Guru. The Lord in the heart is the Chaitya Guru. So these are the two lines on which our spiritual life progresses. So, just as a train moves on two lines, on these two lines, our spiritual life moves. We depend upon the external spiritual master, we also depend upon our internal spiritual master. And what does the external spiritual master do? External spiritual master actually reminds us about the internal spiritual master. Who is that internal spiritual master? Krishna himself. Shiksha gurushcha me shikhipichcha mouli. In Krishna Karanamrita, Billa Mangal Thakur is writing. My Diksha Guru is Chintamani. Who is his Diksha Guru? A prostitute. His external guru is a prostitute. The prostitute, seeing him in such attachment, developing such attachment to her, he said, I wish you develop this attachment to Krishna. Then your whole life would have been successful. The attachment that you have for me, this body made of past stool and wood, that if you had this attachment to Krishna, then your life would have been successful. He took that instruction. And therefore he accepted her as his guru. Not that he had any connection after that, he left, just getting the instruction. And then who instructed him from within? Krishna himself. Shikipichamol, the personality who has a peacock feather on his forehead, on his head. Who is that personality? Krishna. So this is how one takes advantage of these spiritual opportunities. Wherever the knowledge comes, wherever the information comes, wherever the inspiration comes, we have to take that. But the most important thing is, in order to receive that opportunity, in order to take advantage of the opportunity, we have to get rid of our false ego. If we allow our false ego to flourish, then this won't happen. So we get rid of false ego, we become serious about spiritual life, Krishna will give us all the opportunities, all the facilities, because Krishna wants us to go back to him. Hare Krishna, Gaur Premanande, Hare Hare Gaur, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Samaveto Bhakta Vrinda ki jaya. Any question? Yes.
This verse Shakshinda, what is Luke says is tired. His future is Putipadam Punam Mitashadam. He has said, Brahma is tired by penance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have to understand that that was a stage, that was a phase between. He said, not became tired, as if. As if means it appeared. Brahma was not tired. Rather, he became got into meditative mood. He became, after offering the prayers, when he stopped, it appeared as if he was tired. But actually, what was Brahma's situation? As you said, Purnamrita Shwadana. So he was, naturally, he was experiencing that Purnamrita. But he became silent. That means he kind of withdrew himself completely within to perceive the Lord and His Master. Externally he described, but now internally he is relishing. And that's the difference between Brahma became tired or as if he was tired. What is the meaning of this word, as if? As if means it appears, but actually it's not. Naturally, Brahma was not tired. Who becomes tired in spiritual activity? Nobody. Yes?
First question from Ravandra. Brahma could understand that sound waves was the Lord's instruction while his memory was blank. Does this mean the intelligence is independent from the memory?
Intelligence is naturally independence is independent. Intelligence is independent. Like memory is in the mind, but intelligence is the memory is the storage in the mind. The impressions of the sense perceptions are stored. That is the memory, and the intelligence is the ability to relate to the stored memory. Don't you have in the computer, you don't see that? Does the memory itself run the computer? Ramananda, what actually makes the computer to run is the program. So program is the intelligence and the memory is the memory. So that's the difference. The ability to use the memory is the intelligence.
Next question from Bhaktin Karam. Did actual creation take place in the spiritual world?
Did actual creation
takes place in
the spiritual world? Is it takes place? Did she write takes place or take place?
Take place.
Yeah, it's your English. Don't pass it as her English. Did creation take place in the spiritual? Creation, the origin, the root of creation is in the spiritual world because it's coming from the Lord Himself. But the manifestation of the creation is in the external material nature. Is it clear, Bhaktin Carol? Yes, Radha Govind.
What will be our answer for those general people? Those who will ask us that, where is water after this Naam Sankirtan? How do we succeed?
Yeah, I actually answered that in the press conference. I mentioned that our business is to pray to the Lord. We are the servants. We are not telling the Lord, do this, do that. If we do that, then we are not acting as His servant. We are acting as His master. Now we appeal to Him. Now let us see how He makes the arrangement. Whether He will make the arrangement from the top or whether He will make the arrangement from the bottom. It's up to Him. Like it is not that because we perform Sankirtan, there must be rain. Then what we are doing actually? We're saying, Krishna, you better act properly, otherwise you'll be in trouble. We perform Sankirtan and now you have to give. Then are we acting as a devotee? Are we acting as a servant? No. We just prayed to him. And then let us see what he does. You wait. And if they ask, where is the water? Then the question will be, why are you asking? You didn't join in the Sankirtan.
Huh? Yes, you do anything about
right.
It. They're asking for the votes.
Right.
It means that when we are in the village, let me ask, we should pray like this, if you so desire.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, yes.
Are the laws of spiritual world and the laws of material world are antagonistic to each other?
It will depend. It will depend. Like, if, see, the law of the material nature also is the spiritual law. And that law is called dharma. The law given by the Lord. So if you act on that instruction, that law, then you are not in the material nature. You are in the spiritual. Or the spiritual nature is in perfect harmony with the material nature. But if one does not abide by the law, that law, but creates his own law, yes, that will be in conflict with the spiritual law. Like, the, say, the governments are creating the law. When, if the laws are without accepting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then yes, it is. It is in conflict. It is antagonistic. Like, the government is saying, give all the money to me. Right? And when I become a minister, I'll take your money and put it in my pocket. That is the law. That law is not no good. You collect the, you pay tax so that the ministers can fill their coffers. That is not law. Like, you, whatever we collect from you must be engaged in Krishna service. That is the real law. Like, in this respect, there is a very nice a very nice example that can be cited. You see, some of the Jews were trying to get Jesus. And they wanted to present Jesus as a rebel. So they gave him some coins and asked Jesus, who should we pay this? They thought that they were going to say, pay this to God. That would mean he is telling people not to pay tax to Caesar. So Jesus' reply was, pay unto Caesar that is of Caesar. Pay unto God that is of God. What belongs to Caesar, give it to Caesar. But what belongs to God, give it to God. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premananda. Who said Jai from there? Was it you, Mehta? Hare Gaur. How is your name? Your gas has been taken out.